This CKNW podcast for AIM Medical Imaging, home of AIM Medical Imaging full body MRI scanning. A family history of medical issues is nothing to ignore. Book a preventative screening at aimmedicalimaging.com.
It is 6:49. If you are a university student or if you are the parents of university students, this is not very pleasant reading. A study I've got in front of me finds that basic financial knowledge is lacking among students. Many of them find themselves hopelessly indebted 5 to 10 years after graduation. This all comes to us from Sands & Associates. Blair Manton, Senior Vice President of East Sands & Associates, a trustee with Personal Bankruptcy Canada, and they have taken a close look at students at Simon Fraser and at the University of British Columbia. Blair, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Philip.
Doesn't make for good reading, this.
It highlights that there is an issue here, and the reason that we did this study was that we really wanted to understand what's the underlying cause of the people I'm seeing 5 to 10 years after graduation who are in a tough place, and we're finding that the cause is, you know, credit that starts to accumulate right on campus.
Now, is the basic knowledge missing? Have we raised a generation to live on credit cards, to not know the value of money and of saving?
You know, I think it's correct. There's a big gap in financial literacy, and it's not just youth. I think it's at all levels of society these days. But I think the big thing with youth is that there's a bit of an altered sense of financial reality, especially when you're on campus. So the majority of students, and this wasn't a surprise, is that they're financed by their parents. You know, more than 50%, the majority of their funding comes from their parents. So they're not out earning their own money. But at the same time, they're being approached more than 3 times a year on average, sometimes up to 6, to take on new credit. So they don't have a sense of what their income is. As a student, they really don't have income, but they're being approached for credit all the time, and a lot of them are saying yes to it.
So we can't really blame them for doing that, but where is the fix? What do we need to do here?
Well, I think part of it is tempering students' expectations. The two most surprising findings in the study for me were, one, when we asked students how long do they think it will take them to pay off their student loans, it was more than 50%, it was 57%, said that they will be done with their student loans in less than a year. And, you know, I'm not sure where this expectation comes from, but I know very few people who are able to pay off their student loans within a year. And most people, you know, are closer to 7 to 10 years, which very few students actually thought it would take them that long. The other surprising finding was, you know, within a year, most students thought they'd be earning $35,000 to $75,000. And within 5 years, 3/4 of students thought they'd earn more than $50,000. And that's just not a reality for the average person in BC. Only 27% of us earn more than $50,000.
Let me get you to hang on. A lot more to talk about, some possible solutions. Blair Manton stays with us. We'll continue this discussion. This makes for rough reading, this study by Sands & Associates. They've been looking at students at Simon Fraser and at UBC, looking at their financial knowledge. A lot of people are apparently clueless when it comes to financial knowledge and managing their debt and student loans. And then it gets even worse as we talk to Blair Manton, a senior vice president with Sands & Associates, who reports that debt begins accumulating in university, and then people find themselves, quoting, hopelessly indebted 5 to 10 years after graduation. And Blair, that is a very sorry state of affairs. What can be done?
Well, one concrete thing I think, Philip, that should change is just the amount of credit that students are offered on campus. So if we think back to the U.S. financial crisis of 2008, the big problem was what were known as ninja loans. And ninja stands for no income, no job, no assets. So massive loans were made to people who just didn't have the ability to repay them. To me, there's not a whole lot of difference. Every loan that you make to a student who doesn't have income, doesn't have a job, doesn't have assets, that's a ninja loan, but nobody calls it that. We think it's okay, and we actually counsel students that they should be getting to be building up their credit rating while they're in school. So, you know, one thing that I would say should change is that we should stop offering unsecured credit to those people that can't afford it, namely students.
We should also, it sounds from what you were saying a little earlier, we should also make it a bit more realistic with their expectations when they leave university, thinking that they can wander out and get 75 grand or something the first year is just silly.
Well, exactly. And the thing is, when you're operating under the assumption that your expected future income is going to be that high, you're not as likely to be budget conscious because you think, well, I'm going to make enough to pay for it later. When that income is delayed or perhaps doesn't happen, depending on the field that you choose, that's when I find folks walking into my office who are not yet 30 years old and who, you know, some of them owe $40,000 or $50,000 and are just pulling their hairs out wondering what to do.
What do you think parents should be doing? There's an awful lot of generous parents out there, it seems.
Well, there is. I think just having the open, honest conversation about, you know, do we understand credit? Do we understand how compound interest works on both sides? And, you know, even more at the discussion about a credit rating, and, you know, you've got your whole life to build up a solid credit rating. It's not worth putting your financial future at risk just to establish, you know, that you're able to incur things and pay them off when often, you know, the paying off is where things happen.
Well, is the message also to parents here, just don't be as, even though we all want the best for our kids, maybe being too generous is hurting in the long term?
Yeah, if you get to the point where you've created an altered sense of financial reality, and I think that's what we found in our study is, you know, that there's going to be a bit of a shock coming when students graduate and either have to start paying back this debt or realize they're not earning the income that they anticipate. So, yeah, I think the more parents can really give a sense of, you know, here's our budget, here's how we live within it each month, and there's not an unlimited source of funds here, that's a good thing.
Good to talk with you this morning. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Philip.
Bye-bye now. Blair Manton of Sands & Associates, and that's some powerful stuff, and you might want to go back if you're in a situation where you're funding your kids or you're in university and you think that you're going to wander out of university and be able to pay off all of your debts. Well, that man spells it right out for you, and we'll also put up a link for you so that you can look at the details of this study, and I think you'll be very surprised, unpleasantly surprised as I was. The news is next.